Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Riot podcast. Simon Long and Chris Holt here again as always. Chris. I didn't really want to do this one. It was an awful performance of the weekend, but we'll discuss it. But first of all, how are you? You're looking very smart in your referee's uniform. For those you can't see, Chris is his referee's uniform.
I'm off to referee some lovely ladies in the Maid Marian League later. I'm very well, thank you, Simon. Results aside, of course.
Good, good. Right, now, Chris, now, I know we're not normally allowed to mention this, and it is a football podcast, but I don't know nothing about basketball, but you do. Now, we're not, this is going to be the only segment you're going to get here, because it seems like the Derby Trailblazers are doing well. So, go on, someone asks you a question, I'll let you answer it just this once.
Well, it's good to have a different question on the podcast. So, the Derby Trailblazers are in semi-final BBL trophy action on Wednesday night at the Clarence Wiggins Sports Centre, which is at Noel Baker School. And they're playing the Caledonia Gladiators, or from the British Basketball League, which is essentially the Premier League of British basketball. And Derby Trailblazers play in NBL 1, which is like the equivalent of the Championship. Huh? It's very rare to have an NBL team get to the semi-final of the BBL trophy. It's equivalent of the FA Cup, shall we say. So it's a big deal. And tickets are selling fast. There is a few left for Wednesday's tip-off, which is 7:30. And the final, if Derby win, is in Glasgow, which is ironic that I know. Well, Caledonia Gladiators are based in Glasgow, and it's at their home venue. So, it's an amazing achievement for a local club that are fundamentally part-time. They've only got, I think, two full-time professionals, and the rest are sort of supplemented with work with schools and coaching and what have you. So, yeah, get down there. The capacity at the arena is 800, I believe, for the game and for the venue. So, get down there. Tickets selling fast. If you want to go online to the trailblazers.com website, you can get them from there, mate. Thank you very much for letting me promote that, because they're a great little club. My son plays for them, and I do a lot of refereeing for them. And, Derby's got a heritage of basketball in the area with the Storm back in the day. And it's great to see the Blazers doing so well.
So, M_Bilby on Twitter did say, so Chris, will they make the final? So I'll let you answer that.
It's one of those things where home court advantage might play into Derby's hands, because it's a small venue. The playing surface isn't the best. BBL teams are used to playing on sprung wooden floors in arenas that seat 2,000. This is a small, compact venue, and that might play in Derby's favour. The fact that also Caledonia have got to travel that day on the bus, which is a five-hour journey, get off it, play a game. It's all about the start. If Derby have a good start, they've got a chance. You know, they're a good team on the day.
There you go. Right, now, back to football. There you go, Chris. So you're happy. I would let you. It seems important. So we'll go back to football then. So the weekend, Derby County won in what has to be the worst performance I have seen that team put out this season. And for a while, I mean, I don't know what was worse, that or the boxing match between Jake Paul and Tommy Fury at the weekend. It was abysmal, Chris. I've never seen anything like it. And now Paul Wall said something interesting in his press conference, and I've seen someone allude to it actually on Facebook. about there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. Now, Derby seemed to be, it sounded as if Paul Warren was saying we just seemed very arrogant on the ball. We couldn't beat their press. It looked for the first few minutes we were trying to get in behind, but there was two balls that Sibley played down the line to Barkhouser within the first 10 minutes, and they both went straight out of touch for a goal kick. We were shocking, Chris. What went wrong?
We spoke about it at the podcast, didn't we, on the preview, and also last week's edition, where we said that changes, you thought it'd be the same team. You were correct. I personally think that team management away from home needs to be looked at, because although you should play with confidence and always stick to a system that fundamentally is working, it's not fundamentally working, Simon. That's the reality. Away from home now, including Lincoln as well, we've got to say, that's been three pretty... three performances out of four. And Charlton was no particularly fantastic performance. We just got the job done. Yeah. And I just think that sometimes we need to accept that we have to manage away games better. We can't go in there with the home performance attitude, because Barnsley are not a bottom five team. They are on fire. Wickham at home have got a fantastic record as well. And we went in there, you're quite right, blasé almost, as if we were going in there, we're Derby County, you know, we'll win this, we'll walk home, we'll beat you 3-0 in the FA Cup. And I said to you, didn't I, in the preview, these guys are going to roll the sleeves up, they'll make us turn, they'll play the ball over the back, over the top, press really high. We know that, we spoke about Norwood and Cole being absolute arseholes up front with their attitude and their terrier-like performances and how they bully defenders. And what did they do, Simon? Exactly what we said.
Yeah, they did. I thought, I mean, we look at the first goal, defensively poor, again, being pressed, for some reason, playing out for the back, it felt like we tried to go long a couple of times, didn't work. Right, let's resort to tight, let's play it around the back. But they pressed and we couldn't, and they just were a nuisance, you know. And that's where their first game came from was them pressing us. I think, was it Forsyth made the mistake? I mean, yeah, fair enough. There was a shout for offside, but it didn't matter. The annoying thing was, though, we looked like we'd just got into the game before that. I think Knight had a shot saved. Barkhausen? No, didn't
he? Hit the bar, yeah. Barkhausen crossed the bar, didn't he?
Did he crack? Yeah, but he did hit the bar after their goal. I think he did.
Yes.
Yes, he did. But we were sort of getting on top. And then that goal came out of nothing, just a silly defensive error. And then even the second goal, they ran through us. They literally ran through the middle of us. No one stuck a challenge in. There was no one willing even just to try and commit a foul. And we were at sixes and sevens at the back. And then McGoldrick gets us a goal out of nothing. You know, a great finish. You know, great finish. And then another bit of sloppy defending. Oh, no, sorry. The second goal was the shot from the edge of the box, which was a good goal. Sorry, it was the third goal that it was. They ran through us, and oh, it was just bouncing around everywhere. And then the Devante Cole poked it in from 6 yards, didn't he? And it was just Harvey White was stood there. Harvey White is not a defensive midfielder. He stood there, you know, and watched Devante Cole turn and swivel on the shot from 6 yards out and put it in the net. But then we came out second half, and we worked harder. But that's it. I think I said it to you, or I said it on Facebook. One of the two. The second half was it was headless chickens. There was a lot of it. I think Sean Parker said it on commentary. I can't remember who came on. I can't remember which substitute came on now. But he says, "Oh yeah, he'll bring some energy." And I'm thinking, it's not energy we need. We've got plenty of that. We're running around like headless chickens. It's quality that we need. You know, because we just didn't have anything. You know, I think there was a couple of chances in the second half. There was Collins that almost got his head to a Horahan free kick. And then what annoyed me about that is Knight stopped. Knight was on the back post, and you're thinking, go on, there's a tap in there, but he's jumping up and down like a fairy. You're thinking, composure. No composure. there was Forsyth's shot that was blazed over the bar from the edge of the box. And then there was obviously the Dobbin chance, which I'll give credit to the keeper for the first two. The first two efforts that were saved. But that rebound for the Dobbin from 3 yards out, how he's put it wide, I don't know. That's unacceptable. And then obviously the fourth goal, last kick of the game, a throw-in back to Wildsmith, who, you know, I'm assuming Cashin was thought he was just going to lump it long. We decide to play it short. Cashin slips and it goes to former Ram Luke Thomas to put in an empty net. It was just it was horrendous, Chris. I think we were arrogant. We thought, certainly Barnsley, we can roll over these. It was, you know, but the Wickham, I know you mentioned Wickham and Lincoln. I don't think we were arrogant there. I think, again, sloppiness crept in far too much. That Barnsley performance, I never, ever, ever, ever want to see another performance like that. You know, you can say bad day at the office all you like, but that was a team that didn't look committed.
Yeah, commitment is a good word. What I found quite strange was when he replaced Barkhuizen and Harvey White at 61 minutes. Excuse me. By the way, can I just say I didn't think it was Harvey White's game, as I said to you in the podcast. It wasn't his kind of game.
We raved about him in our last show.
Yeah, but he's one of those players that needs a footballing type game where there's plenty of space, plenty of time.
He's Max Bird from 2 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. But you when you've got someone that's aggressive and in your face, ultimately dictating the midfield with quick, slick pass. He was out of the game, in my opinion, from the first minute. So he went off at 61 with Collins coming on. I was very surprised he didn't bring more changes in at that time. Clearly, it wasn't working. There was still 30 minutes to go. And then he decided to bring Robertson and Springett at 78 minutes. And I found that a little bit strange. He's normally pretty good with his substitutions, allowing time for everyone to settle in. I thought 61 minutes was a good time to bring a complete fresh set of four or five legs. But he only brought on two.
I agree, because Sibley had a poor game. His passing, fair enough, he was running, was fine. His passing, it just didn't find its target at all. I'd have brought on Robert sooner, as you say. Springett, again, energy, but I don't know. I would have thought going in at 3-1 down at half time, he would have made wholesale changes. Right, this isn't working. Let's change it up. Yet he came out after it took him to, like you say, an hour to make any changes. Do you know what the annoying thing was? I thought if we could sneak a second goal, we'd get at least a point.
Yeah.
I generally thought in that second half, Barnsley just sat back, and then if they could, they'd try and counter. They never really got the chance. And I just thought if we got a goal, just one goal, if one of those chances in the second half went in, they would fold and we'd go and get an equaliser. I think they were shocked that they went in 3-1. Because apart from, they didn't really, they had this, if you look, the weird thing is, looking at the stats, I think we had more possession. We had the same amount of goal attempts, the same, which was 10, the same amount of attempts on target, which was 5. They, I think, around about the same amount of shots off target. You know, you just think, how? It's, you know, how are we losing 3-1? Because they were expected goals. Now, I'm not a big fan of expected goals, but I can use it at this. They were expected 1.58 goals. We were expected 1.13. That game had draw written all over it.
It did. And it should have been. To me, I've had some criticism on Twitter about people saying that Paul Warne knows the selection of his team better than me and I shouldn't really have an opinion, which I find a bit daft. But what I was actually saying was you need to manage away games better. And I looked at that midfield and I looked at Barnes' midfield and I just thought we'd get out of battle straight away. When you've got a midfield of Barkhuizen, White, Knight, Hurrian and Lang, yeah, Knight can stick his boot in where he needs to. But other than that, there's no aggression there.
No.
Excuse me. There's a fair bit of pace, fair bit of skill. But when it comes down to being in the trenches against Barnsley, who are an aggressive team, let's be completely honest, they're their discipline record proves that with the amount of yellows and reds that they get. But they play in your face with that very high press, which starts from the front, certainly comes into play in the middle. And I just didn't think the 4-5-1 system would have worked. Personally, I'd have probably gone back to his 3-5-2. Is it a game where you bring Curtis in? Is it a game where you bring Rooney in and put Corey Smith into the middle? Because Corey will scrap if you need it be.
I think
there's games where you need to bring a bit of bite into the middle of the field. We haven't got a squad that actually is able to dictate a game like that, I accept. But we are able to tweak slightly to allow us to have a bit of strength in that middle. And I just think he got it wrong. I agree with you that mistakes were pathetic. And I agree with you that, you know, there was nonchalance almost. Mm. You know, we passed the ball twice as much as Barnsley. We played Rossignol football, which people used to criticise. And we seem to have gone back to that recently. And, you know, I'm still an advocate. I still believe we will get promotion. And I'll stick to my guns. You know, there's plenty of time still to rectify this. But I just feel that we are now a classic game where it's come at the right time to allow us to question, are we now ready to change the system, to change the formation away from home, which I believe we are. Because ultimately, we need 4 points per two games minimum. And I'd more than happy draw every single game away from now to the end of the season and then win every home game. And I honestly believe we'll be there or thereabouts, because I think there's more trip-ups and hiccups between now to the end of the season from teams above us. Some have got to play each other. It will happen.
Yeah, I mean, look at Plymouth. They got battered, didn't they, by Peterborough?
Two games on the trot they've been beat.
Mm. I mean, the interesting thing, you mentioned the passes there. We made a total of 427 passes, only completed 267 passes. So that's around about 62% of completed passes. That's not good enough. And, you know, Warren speaks about we need to be braver. To make that many passes shows we weren't that brave. But we also, if you get, you know, and I think they played a five at the back. We like to use our width. The only joy we were getting was with Mendes Lang. That was down the right hand side. Yet for some reason we didn't really use that much. And I think there was a game plan to try and get them over the top, but we don't have anyone apart from Mendes Lang and Barkhuizen. We haven't got a striker that's going to get in behind over the top. You know, McGoldrick's not that sort of striker. And I think it was a bit of confusion with the tactics of, do we go over the top? Do we try and play through the middle? For me, the width thing was never going to work. I'd have loved to have seen Corey Smith and Sibley come on the outside and allow Barkhuizen and Mendes Lang to come in a bit more narrower, just to try and draw the rest of the defenders in to try and create a bit of an overload. But I just found we felt it hard to deal with the five at the back that Barnsley played. And again, they outworked us, they pressed us, and you know that's what they basically showed the rest of League One. This is how you beat Derby: press them, they can't handle it. That's what they did.
You're right. And the other thing that I think they worked out was is that if they turned our back four, between the four of them, there's not a lot of pace.
Mm.
And once Cashin is turned and once Foz is turned, you're in trouble. They are fantastic at breaking play down when it's in front of them. And they read the game very well. But when they do get turned, with all due respect to them both, and Corey Smith to an extent, the pace just isn't there to recover. And I think that's... But that was Barnes' game from day one. Yes, okay, people probably listen to the podcast now saying, lads, we had chances to certainly win the game.
We did. We did have chances.
But ultimately, we didn't put them away. And the defining moments were really poor football by Derby. It's a kick up the backside. I don't really want to stay on it too much, but I think that Twitter had an explosion. It split, obviously, the fans between positivity and negativity. I'm a little bit down about it. I was disappointed with the application of the game, Simon, most of all.
Yeah.
They just didn't apply themselves. I don't think that they were never in it, to be honest.
No, I mean, I think it's fine that fans can have a bit of a negative reaction to it. it's what we do as football fans. You know, I think it's just that last season we were positive no matter what the result, but that's where we were. That's where we were at. You know, we were almost clubless. But this season, you know, everything's normal now, I guess, and, well, as normal as can be. And I think now, you know, we're allowed to have a rant and an event as fans after a poor. I think if we'd lost 4-1 and got absolutely decimated by a better side, it would have been, no, it's a better side. They outplayed us. But I think it's the way we went down. But
yeah, I agree.
Hopefully now, we'll move on after this, but hopefully this is now a bit of a wake-up call to say, look, this isn't going to be a walk in the park. The quality is there for this league to be a walk in the park for us, but unless you apply yourself and commit, it's not going to happen.
Paul Warren came up with something interesting. My last point of the game is that he said that when Barnsley had their backs turned and Derby on the front, they put in a boot, took a foul, took a yellow, to stop play, which I thought was a really valid point. They got 3 yellow cards, all deserved, but all for pretty crass tackles, but to stop Derby in their flow, should we say. Yeah.
I remember the second half, Mendes Lang, he turned his man, he'd gone, and he basically pushed him off the pitch.
Yeah, but he got a yellow, but he stopped a potential one-on-one. What I'm saying is Derby don't do that. Derby, he basically, Paul Warren said, we're too nice. Mm. We you know, he'd rather have one of his centre-halves or full-backs tackle someone and put them into row C of the stand and get a yellow, preventing a potential goal, rather than, you know, pussyfoot around. And I think that's a really valid point. Well, if you look at our team, and going back to what I said, if you look at our team against what Barnsley put out, in some elements, physicality-wise, it was men versus boys. And it's something that I think will be addressed in the summer. I think you'll see 2 or 3 bodies come through the door that are pretty much beasts, because that game showed that the limitations of the squad,
yeah,
when it comes down to that kind of game, for all to see. But that's really where I want to leave it, because I don't want to ponder on that game no more. We have to move forward.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it as, yeah, we lost 4-1. Bit of a wake-up call. You know, time to move on. So, we do move on. And now, obviously, it will be time for this week's quiz. Yes, we are still doing it, even though it wasn't great, but hey-ho. I'm going to ask the 4 questions. We also have a piece of commentary available as well. So the first question is, McGoldrick scored his 14th league goal of the season. I believe he's sort of second or third now as they're in League One for the Golden Boot. But anyway, I digress. So McGoldrick scored his 14th league goal against Barnsley. Who got the assist for that goal? Next question. Remember, we will say the answers at the end of the show. So there was 20 fouls in total, which you've just alluded to there, Chris. There was a lot of fouls.
There was.
But what time? Now, there was 3 yellow cards for Barnsley, none for Derby. Says it all. What time was the first booking of the game?
Okay.
Springer came on in the 78th minute as a substitute. Again, you mentioned subs, but who did he come on for? That's if you can remember that.
Yep.
And the last one. So Derby took around 5,000 fans to Oakwell on Saturday, but to the nearest 1,000, what was the actual attendance?
Okay.
Now for the commentary. You ready? Let's go.
Baker's a space to run into because Britain's left him. There's a good ball. Dummied. Here's a chance for Plunge. Lays it back to Morrison, who scores. What a goal! What a goal!
That was the wonderful Ed Dawes there commentating on a Rabo Morrison goal from last season. But who was that goal against? So, as I said, we will come back to the answers at the end of the show. So, I bet your minds are ticking now. Anyway, so, moving on. The news, the gossip, and your comments. We've had quite a few. So the first one, there's not really been a great deal of news this week. But one thing I did see today, actually, was Kieran McGuire on his podcast. I don't know if you, I think there was a piece in it as well about from the Telegraph about HMRC. And it seems the deal that David Clowes got with HMRC, bearing in mind they could take 100% of what was owed, they only actually took, I think it was about $6.5 million.
Wow. Okay.
25% they took.
Wow. Is that an official statement? Is it that?
I'm assuming it must be somewhere. You know, Kieran with his finance and stuff, he does get a lot of stuff, but that is some going to get it for six and a half million, I think. Yeah, I believe it was. So I was quite impressed by that we've managed to do that deal. And fair play to HMRC as well for seeing the bigger picture, I would say.
Mm.
Because I think without that, Derby liquidate. And just imagine that for the city of Derby.
Yeah. Fair play to HMRC. They've obviously looked at the bigger picture. It'd be interesting to know who did that negotiation on behalf of Derby. I would imagine it certainly wasn't Quantumar, because they couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. And I'm not going to say allegedly, that's fact. So yeah, fair play to whoever took the bull by the horns and got that negotiated. I think HMRC don't want to see established football clubs and businesses go under for their sake. I think they obviously saw that the club was being ran by other persons, should we say, that ran them into the ground, and the new tenure of people in there were not of the same cut of cloth, should we say. So, yeah, fair play to everybody. And I think we've proven that the business model is working well this season. And I think you'll see some embargo clauses probably dropped to some extent, fingers crossed, and that we're allowed to pay £2 transfer fee rather than £0 transfer fee.
I'm going to Shrewsbury on it. I was actually shocked. I'm going to Shrewsbury on Saturday, and I'm taking the family, treating them. You know, you got 20 every now and again. But Alfie, my youngest, he's what, 4? Cost me a quid. So there's a transfer. That's half a transfer fee.
Yeah. There's just things like incentives that they might be allowed to give a player an incentive to come. Yeah, you know, a bonus of scoring, whatever. So yeah. Good. Overall, it's good news.
Definitely. Anyway, comments. We've got quite a few of them. We had a couple just come in actually on TikTok. I'm on TikTok.
I'm not.
Follow me. Yeah, you got sense.
And I'm old.
And yeah, well, this is true. So yeah, if you are on TikTok, you can follow me at the Rams Writer. But yeah, I'll go off TikTok first. So Craig Venus then says, going back to the Barnes game, think we were 2 yards off the pace, silly mistake. Excuse me. Silly mistakes, not clinical enough. Get these mistakes out all in one match. I would give Dobbin a chance up front. Now, I tell you what, when Warren came in, we played Cambridge, and he had a Sula and Dobbin up front. I thought that was the way forward. Yeah. There was pace there. My only worry and criticism about that is Dobbin struggles to finish his dinner.
Correct.
Which is really frustrating, because I really, really like him as a player. I quite like the tricky players. You know, they get you off your seat a bit. You know what I mean? When they've got the ball and they're running at players and they're backpedaling and falling over. That was Dobbin, wasn't it? Falling over.
Yeah. Like, well, I spoke to an Everton fan about Dobbin, and he reckons that Dobbin's blatantly missing sitters because he didn't want to get sent back to Everton because they're shy. So he's purposely missing absolute
Lewis
sitters. So he stays with Derby. That's an Evertonian's theory. Oh. I beg to differ, but you know, I always like a good conspiracy.
In fairness, they did call back Ellis Sims, didn't they? So
They did.
Met Sunderland, they're happy about that. But no, Dobbin, honestly, if he could be more consistent in front of goal, I'd quite happily play.
He is consistent in front of goal. He keeps it either side of the post.
Yeah, that's true. But if he could start finding the onion bag, I'd quite happily have him up top with McGoldrick, to be honest. I think McGoldrick would thrive on that, because you've got two options of playing then. You either play it holding up to McGoldrick, or you're playing Dobbin in behind.
Mm.
There's a bit of pace, and if you can get Barkhuizen, Dobbin and Mendes Lang on the pitch all at the same time, there is a lot of pace.
I agree.
And that's what Warren likes, let's be honest. That you look at the signings of Spriggott, he's quick. You know, that's why he brought him in.
A majority of the goals we score, Simon, are when we turn the opposition's back four.
Look at Port Vale.
You know, I would say 90% of the goals are based on turning the fullback. So, bring it on.
And DCFC_football on TikTok says we play terrible and they play good. We should play better. Pretty standard theory, that, let's be honest. Crap. They were good. End of discussion.
That's the classic match of the day comment that you get from a manager who's just been absolutely smashed 3 or 4-1. So, bang on.
Now we move over to Facebook. My territory. So Peter Johnson says, playing Sibley at left back cost us Saturday. When we have Fozzy and Hayden Roberts in the squad, I don't get it. Surely Jake Rooney can come in at centre back to push Fozzy out wide. I tell you what, Chris, I'm going to let you discuss this point.
We did say this. I said to you last week, do you bring Rooney in and put Fozzy over to left back? And you went, no.
No.
So I'm going to ask you again. No. Do we bring Rooney in, who's a natural defender and has been excellent when he's come into the squad, especially away from home, and put Fozzy over to the left to fill that gap? Because that left back void, certainly the last three games, has been obvious.
You can even put Roberts in the centre, let's be honest.
Yeah, he could do. I like Rooney. There's obviously an issue somewhere. I don't know if it's discipline or attitude.
You know, young players, aren't they? You never know.
But he didn't deserve to be put in the abyss and not even on the bench.
It is a shout. I do agree. Rooney at centre-back has, every time he's played, he's impressed. But can Fozzy still bomb up and down a wing at left-back? I tell you what, though, he can still deliver a ball.
There is an argument to put Fozzy at left-back, Rooney at right-back, and put Corey Smith to get a bit of bite in the midfield on away games. And this comes back down to game management again, doesn't it?
He
keeps saying to us after press conferences that the squad's there to be rotated and they've got games coming thick and fast and he needs all his squad. Well, he's not using all his squad at the moment, is he?
No. Now, I've often stuck up for Forsyth when everyone else slated him when he was playing at left back.
Class. He's had a class season.
At the end of the day, right, Forsyth does make the odd mistake.
He does.
My only worry is the lack of pace if he gets turned.
Oh, yeah.
However, he's seen, every time I've seen, last season, right, it was between him and Buchanan. Rooney was ridiculous to think that Buchanan was ahead of Forsyth at left back. Last season, when Fozzy played left back, he never got done because of his defensive positioning.
I think on that point, Simon, I think Buchanan was put in the team as a shop window. I don't think there was any other reason for him being in there. It'll be interesting if he's ever actually played in Germany to start.
Yeah, he scored.
That's one name I have not heard in a long while.
Was it Bremen, weren't it?
Yeah, last time I saw him was in a garden shed by a railway line saying how happy he was to be at Werder Bremen.
Yeah, he scored a last-minute equaliser or something.
Dortmund, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I can't bloody remember. Mm. I don't really pay much attention. I'm not bothered about former players. You left us, you wanted, you know, it is where it is.
But let's move on. But yeah, I think the time is now to relook at the availability of fullbacks and defenders. And Curtis, even. Would you bring Curtis back in? You know, he's a stalwart. We spoke about Curtis 3 or 4 weeks ago saying he's a bit part player. But at this moment in time, we've only got a 4-point gap between 6th and 7th. We are below 4 points a game. 4 points per two games, the average, which is set. Something needs to change away from home. I think at home, don't change anything. But I think away from home, we've got to be more guile.
Yeah, I
got
think
to,
we need
got to be stronger.
I think we need to look at just trying to scrape a one, or not scrape, but just get a 1-0 win, or you know, just depending who we're playing, obviously. Right. So Ian Hayes on Facebook says, just think we were beaten by a team that wanted this 6 points or more. What to change? Not sure, not really sure much needs changing, but some players are now looking a little bit jaded. I'd leave it to Warren. He has done so well with what he's been given and managed to bring in. We go again Tuesday and hope for the performance and fitness returns. That is not a bad shout about the fitness thing, about being jaded. How many games? Because we've had, have we done Saturday, Tuesday? We have, haven't we? We did Wickham Saturday, Lincoln the Tuesday, Charlton on the Saturday. Then we've had a bit of a break. And then again, it's Saturday, Tuesday. This is the game in hand, isn't it, the Cheltenham one?
I think it is. Although there is some other fixtures. What I will say about that is that we have used the fewest amount of players in the league.
Because we've got the least, that's why.
Well, yeah, we have. But also, we've still just mentioned two or three players there that aren't seeing light of day. Rooney, Stearman, Davis. You know,
I'm sorry, but I'm not having Stearman in a squad.
I know you're not a fan of Stearman, but Barnes have played one less than Derby. So, you know, was their record going into the game? Did they play the same amount of games this last 3 or 4 weeks? You know, let's be honest. We're on Radio Derby, Simon Bowe said that there's no curse in February and it's just form. Well, do you know what? Thank God for the back of February as of tomorrow.
There is definitely a February thing. With Derby County in February, when we're in the playoffs, there is definitely something in our minds that goes, shit, this is important.
Absolutely. Last day of February tomorrow. It's my dog's birthday. Happy birthday, Jackson. Let's move on into March with a win.
Okay, so Mark Coote on Facebook. He says, is reality finally hitting home? Small squad and amount of games taking their toll. Or the top teams strengthen where we had to make do, or is it just a blip? Do we have an answer to do we have an answer for high press teams? So a couple of good points there, actually. Other teams did strengthen in January. We haven't had the chance, obviously, not been able to. Is this just a blip? I think it is. I personally think it's just a blip. I just think it's one of them things at the minute. We were on such a high, and it's when you get knocked down from that high, it's putting yourself there again, picking yourself back up. And you know, it's two losses in 4 or 5 games now. It's not
It's two losses since October.
Yeah,
in the league. Going back to what you were saying before we talk about the press, you're right. It is a catch up Tuesday. There's only 4 games, although there's 3 really interesting ones. Of those 4, excuse me, Derby have got Cheltenham at home, Portsmouth are at home to Bolton. That will be, we will see how Bolton are, because they have recruited really well.
Well, brought they came in from some, behind, didn't they, at the weekend?
Yeah, and they brought in some academy stars from Man U. I think they brought 3 in who look pretty special. And then you've got Peterborough who have just
hammered Plymouth.
Yeah, and they're just gently coming behind us and looking to challenge the top 6. They've got games in hand on. I think they've got 2 games in hand, some people.
Is it Grant McCann they've got back now?
Yeah.
Was it Darren Ferguson? I know one of them rebounded.
McCann got sacked. McCann got sacked and Ferguson's back. Peterborough at home to Charlton. So you'd pretty guarantee that Peterborough will take the 3 points there, because we thought Charlton were pretty woeful. So again, it's a must-win game on Tuesday. Going back to the press, it's a really good point. But I think that the only way to beat the press is counter-press. If we didn't press Barnsley at all with the same intensity. If we'd have pressed against Barnsley that we did, say, 4 or 5, 6 games ago, when we were on our best form of the season, that ball would not have got anywhere near to the front 2 or 3 anyway. So I think it's reverse psychology. I think the only way to beat attack is to attack. So I think the question comes more about not how to beat a press, because all they do is they turn the back 4. They're not looking to play through the zones. They're looking to hit a 40-yard pass over the top to turn Derby. So the only way to stop that is to stop the pass. Stop the initiation.
I wonder if it was sort of Max Bird's role to control the press in midfield.
Possibly.
You know, he's come out of squad, unfortunately. Hopefully, he might be back, actually, at the weekend.
There is no leader out there. That's a really good point, Sam. There's no leader out there. Like, you've got Davis out of the team. You've got Bird out of the team. I think, did Fozzie get the armband?
Fozzie's got the armband, yeah.
And I think Fozzie's one of those players that when you put, we've spoke about this before, you put an armband, Max Bird suffered with it, certainly when he got the captaincy first.
It did, yeah.
I think if you put the armband on someone who's not that confident or cultured with that responsibility, I think it plays on their mind. And I think it affects their game.
It's one of them things, isn't it? It's some people are born to be captains. You put the armband on them, it doesn't matter, they'll lead by example. Whereas others, you give them the armband and they have to adjust. I was one of them. Yeah, when I played rugby and I was captain at rugby, they took it off me because my game suffered. Because I was more concentrated on trying to sort the rest of the team out. I couldn't concentrate on my game. But yeah, I think that's a good point. We are lacking a leader.
Yeah,
and we are missing Max Bird, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Hopefully, obviously, last time we did the pod, Warren said he'd hopefully be 2 weeks. So it could be this week, could be next week. So it will be interesting to see. But yeah, the press has got to be sorted. A couple more then. Vicky Drip on Twitter. Loving the last podcast. Way you go, Vic. Thank you very much. I wouldn't be too disheartened after going on a 19-game unbeaten run. It was bound to come to an end sooner or later. We'll bounce back again this week with 6 points. That's home we go again. That is a good point. We have got two home games on the bounce now against Cheltenham and Shrewsbury, who actually aren't in bad form. They're an interesting one, Shrewsbury are.
They lost on Saturday, didn't they?
But yeah, they did. But they were actually not in it. They were going for a bit of a good patch. I remember this because I was having them in my accumulators. Remember to gamble responsibly, people. But I remember that, and I thought, tell you what, Shrewsbury are doing all right. And then I realised that, oh dear, we've got them coming up. But yeah, they got a win against Oxford, a win against Port Vale, drew against Exeter, but then they lost against Accrington last week. They beat Wickham this week.
Sorry, yeah, I got the wrong way around.
But from January, they went on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They went on a 7-game unbeaten run.
Yeah, he was up there with Cotter was up there with Ward for the manager of the month, wasn't he?
Yeah.
On hindsight, I wish he'd bloody won it now. I think I remember the Shrewsbury game at their place. I think it was the most dire game of the season.
Yeah.
It was horrid. It was horrible.
It's got to be a bit more quality, hasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. But thank you, Vicky, for the feedback. Brilliant to hear that you enjoy the shows. It's great to be back.
It is. I can't remember what the score was. It was 0-0, wasn't it? Was it the drab? Yeah, it was drab.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I had it confused. I thought it was the Morecambe game when we missed two penalties, but no. Yeah, it was shocking. It was boring game. Last one then. Someone's just messing me literally now. In terms of, this is Matt, M_Bilby, your mate, says, in terms of the Rams, they obviously asked about the basketball, it's going to be one final push ready for the playoffs. If not automatic, every game is now must win.
Yeah, I agree. Big shout out to Matt. He's a great guy. No, he's right. I don't think we are going to win every game. But I would say that if we can get 4 points out of every two games, like I said, not lose away from home is the key now. Between now and then, do not lose, because it's a point gained in my eyes rather than three dropped.
I think we do need to start taking draws rather than trying to go all out for winning and losing it now.
Yeah. So, I think Barnsley, we could have got back into it at 2-1. And manage the game better. Wickham, certainly we should have shut shop at 1-1. There was no way we were going to win that game, but certainly we shouldn't have lost that game. So I look at that thinking there's two more points on the board that we should have had.
Yeah, definitely. And last one from Ant Perry. We've just discussed it. How much are we missing Max Bird?
Lots. You don't need to go any more into that. Lots.
We don't. Exactly. We'll move on then to Cheltenham before, and what we'll do, we'll do the Shrewsbury review on what we'll do on Thursday when we do the YouTube channel. We'll basically review Cheltenham and then preview Shrewsbury. But yeah, Cheltenham home, Chris, it's again, we're at home. It's where we've seemed to play our best football. Yeah. It's easy 3 points, I would have thought, wouldn't you?
Well, they have a strange last five results. They got absolutely spanked away at Portsmouth, didn't they, at the weekend, 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0, yeah.
They got a draw away at Plymouth in the Papa John's. I don't know.
Oh, no, that was, weren't that the final? Or was it the semi-final?
That was the semi-final second leg, wasn't
yeah,
it?
They lost on penos, but then they got tonked by Barnsley before that.
That's right, they got tonked at home by Barnsley 4-0. So actually, they've conceded 8 goals and scored none in the last two league fixtures. They got a win away at Cambridge, which is no mean feat. And then they had an absolute spectacular game of a 0-0 draw with Accrington. And then, to be fair, they only lost 1-0 away at Bolton. So they are another funny team. And we said, didn't we, that these teams between 9th and ninth and 19th, they're a strange breed because you just don't know what to expect with them. You know, yeah. if you look at the teams between that gap, Cheltenham, Burton, Oxford, Port Vale, Lincoln, Charlton, they've all taken points off us. Exeter, they've all taken points off us in that sort of middle of the road team. So I don't know what to expect, Simon. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, obviously playing at their place, we was it 3-2 we beat them, weren't it? I think that flattered them a little bit. I think, you know, it was a set piece, wasn't it, their first goal?
Yeah, yeah.
Then Horahan scored, then Max Bird scored the goal of the month for January.
Yeah.
That absolute thunder bastard. and then Barkays and sealed it, didn't he, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He was before, just after half time. And I don't think they really looked a great threat. Again, it's one of those where you look at teams like them and Morecambe, you know, we batted Morecambe 5-0. I think this could be a good game for us to have at the right time. I think if we play our game and play it, the quality is up there where we've seen it before, this then becomes a confidence boost. We go to Shrewsbury with a win. You know, we've just been tonked by Barnsley. We need to come out of this, pick our heads up and basically take our frustrations out of Cheltenham.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. And just get yourselves and go, right, that's like I said, Barnsley's a wake-up call. So go out. You're pissed off. How many times have we seen it where we've seen a team get tonked and then they go out and they'll go and win the next couple of games? You know, like, you know, it's almost like it's woken them up from the dead. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's where we're going to be at with them. So I'm going to be confident. I'm going to say we're going to win 3-0. I'm going to go Mendes Lang's going to score. McGoldrick is going to get two.
I certainly don't think that it's a bad game to have straight from a tonking that Barnsley gave us. I just imagine that Cheltenham won't have anywhere near the footballing prowess of a Barnsley. It's whether or not they come with their sleeves rolled up after being tonked at Portsmouth, or whether
that's the word of the podcast. That is tonked.
Tonked. It's. Ultimately, their season's all about survival, isn't it? You know, Cheltenham to survive in League One is a massive boost for them.
Yeah.
I think you're right. They have no real danger players. Like, if you went up to a football fan in the street and said, name three of Cheltenham's players, I certainly won't be able to.
No.
I'll go for an easy. I think it'll be easy.
Yeah.
And I say that.
I don't see
after the grilling that our boys would have got on Saturday from Warne and Barker and a reality check, I think on Tuesday, I think he'll rest the lads. I think today and yesterday, I don't think the lads would have trained anywhere near as hard. I think they'd been rested, ice bathed, looked after, confidence boosted, and I think Tuesday you'll see a couple of changes. But I
was just about to say, I think Dobbin will be back in for Barkhausen.
I think you might be right.
Roberts might come in for Sibley.
Possibly.
I'm not surprised to see that at all.
Chester is very close, although he needs a couple of games, I think, under his belt.
See, there you go. I've just thought about it. We're on about Fozzie and left back.
Yeah, Chessie.
you know, if
he was a week away last week, so we're now onto the week where he's expected to be back in the squad. So does he bring him in for Cheltenham or does he bring him in for Shrewsbury? I think he will come into the squad at some point.
I you know what? I'd bring him in at Cheltenham just to give him, even if it's to give him 60 minutes.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday night against a team that's not in the best, well, it's in poor form, just to get him some minutes under his legs, move Fosley out to left back. But yeah, he's good. Or does he go 3-5-2? And bring Smith into the middle of the park.
Possibly.
So you have Cash in, Chester and Fozzie at the park. I'd go Mendes, Lang and Dobbin as your fullback, your wing backs. And then Horahan, Knight and Smith in the middle of the park. Collins and McGoldrick up top.
Interesting. What I will say about Cheltenham, looking at their last game stats, they only had 36% possession, only had one shot on target. They had 5 yellow cards.
A bit of an aggressive bunch then.
They sound either aggressive or very slow, and they clearly got outplayed by a middle-of-the-road team like Portsmouth, who on the day can be special, and let's hope they're special when they play Bolton tomorrow. But, excuse me, looking at previous stats as well, I just don't see nothing to fear with them. So I think it's a perfect game for Derby to go out there because they're not fighting relegation as such. I think they've got a bit of a cushion. So I think they will try and get a point from Derby. Let's not look at it any other way than they will try and shut shop. And every team that's tried to shut shop at Derby with that style of football has inevitably got thumped.
And except
for Lincoln.
Yeah, and interesting enough, they Cheltenham player. I think Cheltenham player like a 3 at the back as well. So I would be tempted to sort of match that up. So like I said, I'm going 3-0, Mendes Lang and McGoldrick
twice. I'm with you 3-0, and I think it'll be obvious scorers.
Obvious scorers.
Well, last time I went for Fozzie, didn't I?
Well, in fairness, you did. And do you know what? I remember texting you at 2-1 as well. I thought two all draws on you.
I know. Yeah.
And then, I wish I'd not bothered now because they scored about 5 minutes.
Yeah, your fault. Even Paul Warren said that. Paul Warren said in his press conference, if Simon Hunter texts Chris at 35 minutes, we would have won that game.
Would have done. Would have
Shame
done.
On you, Simon.
Sorry, it's my fault. Anyway, quiz results time.
Yep.
So then, I thought this was quite an easy one. The assist... So McGoldrick scored his 14th league goal this season. Who got the assist?
Jump me to it in my worst Irish accent ever.
Oh, go on. Just for shits and giggles.
Conor Hourihan.
It's a Conor Hourihan, is it? Sorry to anybody Irish that's listening. Sean Hopkins, you're Irish. He's my mate of mine. And I know he listens. Sorry, mate. But in fairness, that is literally how you did your Irish accent. You're actually Irish, apparently.
Yeah, my ex... mother-in-law, bless her, Rita, hello if you're listening, she's from Belfast, so I've got some sort of connection to it.
All right, I'm not Irish at all, more Italian me, mate.
You look it.
Thanks. Thanks. Move on. Appreciate that. Moving on. Come on, it's getting a bit weird here. I know people think we've got a bromance, but hey ho, that's pushing it too far. Secrets out now. Anyway, there was 20 fouls. I've lost my composure. It's like Derby at the weekend. Whew. There was 20 fouls in the game. What time was the first booking?
Now, I could cheat here.
Don't cheat.
I'm not going to.
It's like TalkSport, the no Googling section.
63.
Whoa, you weren't far off. It was 67 minutes.
Oh, okay.
How in the world did it take almost 70 minutes for the referee to bring a card out?
I remember there was none in the first half, and I remember it was sort of middle part of the second half. So, yeah.
Well, I remember, I knew this was going to be the question, you see, because I remember looking at how when the yellow card come out, and I was like, right, that's it. And I think there was 16 fouls before, and I think it was like 12 for Barnsley and 4 for Derby. And I thought, how has he not got the card out by now?
No, but when Derby were coming back into it, they were hitting us hard, but they did the right challenges for the right cards at the right time.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, we're going backwards. Let's move on.
Yeah. Springett came on in the 78th minute as a sub, but who did he come on for? I'm going to have to push you for an answer here.
Mendes Lang.
No, it wasn't. It was Conor Horaham.
Oh, okay.
See, chucked him in twice there. And finally, then the attendance. The Derby County took 5,000 fans to Oakwell. Great show of support.
Yeah.
Again, yet again.
Always.
Incredible. But what was the actual attendance to the nearest 1,000?
Well, Barnsley sent that letter out previous week, which clearly worked because it was one of the highest gates of the season.
18,450.
Ooh, 17,145. Oh, a bit over the top. Well, yeah, I knew it was good attendance for them.
In fairness, I mean, you think about that. What they took 12, so it's about 12,000 Barnsley fans. About twice as many. That's
well, they used to average around 10 or 11, didn't they, when they were crap in the Championship?
Yeah, true. Yeah, the thing is, I fear with Barnsley, they're going to be the next Rotherham.
Yeah, they'll yo-yo. It's South Yorkshire clubs that wear red and white, isn't it?
Yeah, must be something to do with it. Anyway, finally, the commentary then. So we know this was Ravel Morrison's goal, but who was he scoring against?
He's left him. There's a good ball. Dermid, here's a chance for Plunge. Lays it back to Morrison, who scores. What a goal! What a goal from Derby. Brilliant team goal.
Who was that against, Chris?
I know this one.
Oh, yeah, you know it. Go on then.
I know this one. Well, it's the dummy that gives it away.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that the goal scorer was offside, but it clearly wasn't. And it's against Barnsley at home.
Oh, the irony. It was Morrison's. That incredible team goal, I think, which from last season, from our 2-0 win against Barnsley. I think that sort of was when Ravel Morrison sort of went for that little purple patch.
He did. Funny you mention him. I was watching him on EFL's greatest games when QPR absolutely spanked Forest 5-2 in the playoff year in 2014 when Redknapp was in charge. And Ravel Morrison had just gone on loan there. And he looked a world beater. He had an incredible game.
Yeah, now he can't even get into Rooney's DC squad.
Correct.
Never mind, eh? Oh well. Anyway, guys, that's the podcast. We've managed to keep it under an hour and a half this time, Chris. I know you've got to rush off and do your refereeing. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. As always, remember to follow Chris on Twitter.
I'm now known as Chris at the Rams Writer Podcast.
You are Chris. But what's your
DCFC_CMH.
That's the one, DCFC_CMH. But yeah, if you see Chris at the Rams Writer Podcast, that's Chris, obviously. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook, Rams Writer Podcast page, Instagram, the_RamsWriter_podcast, and of course, TikTok at the Rams Writer. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. We shall be back Thursday.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll be a bit of a more upbeat show because we would have just tonked, as the word has been today, Cheltenham. And we'll be looking forward to Shrewsbury. So remember, guys, you can catch that. It will be available Thursday night on YouTube.
Good response from the last one on YouTube. We got a lot of views and that. Much appreciate it, guys. And, you know, the support is always welcome.
It is, of course. And of course, guys, as always, when we put it out on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, it'd be brilliant if you could like and retweet and subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Again, Rams Writer Podcast. But yeah, thank you for listening. We shall see you again Thursday. And as always, come on, Derby.